Amen, amen, amen. I appreciate that. And you know, listen, that's a little thought that you should never forget. It has not changed. He loves you. He loves you. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8, if you will. I'm going to finish this up, Lord willing, this morning. Romans chapter 8. And while you're doing that, I also want to really encourage you to think about this couples conference. The reason we're doing that is because the beginning of next month, we're going to open this up to some other churches as well. But there is a limited amount of rooms. There's about 50 rooms that we have. That's 50 couples. And so if there's something you would like to do, we need to go ahead and get this on your calendar, and you need to get signed up and get your place settled there. So it'd be a great time. You will enjoy the our speakers is Roger and Brenda Green, and Roger has pastored Grace Baptist Church in Middletown, Ohio for quite a few years, and the Lord has blessed him in a great way. He's retired now, and they just kind of travel the country to do this type of thing quite often, and so they'll be a real blessing. Just sweet folks. In fact, you might remember Roger Green was here a year or so ago for our Bible conference, and it will be a real blessing to you. So put that on your calendar. And one other thing here, we don't really hawk a lot of wares around here, but my wife's third book came out here. It's called Rebecca, The Chosen Bride. And we started out with Ruth, and then following a man of faith, it's about the ladies that were involved in Abraham's life. And then we have Rebecca here, The Chosen Bride. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. And so it's the same price the rest of them. They actually raised the price on the book, but we can do it the same price back there. And they're $7 a piece. And I told John we're going to make them $7 a piece, or 2 for 15, or 3 for 25. No. It's $7 a piece. So they would be a blessing to you. I know they would. I know they would. In Romans chapter 8, 2 weeks ago, I started a message, a little series here called Even When We Win. I'm sorry, we even win when we lose. We even win when we lose. And I want to finish this up, last little part of this morning, and I think we'll get out in good time to take Mama to lunch. And I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's pray first, and then we'll walk through this passage, and it'll be a blessing to you. I really believe it will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the encouragement. Sometimes it's a warning. Sometimes it is a rebuke. Lord, forgive us when we doubt you. When we, that little bit of question mark comes across our heart about whether you love us or not. Your love is an everlasting love, a love that goes beyond the knowledge of who we are. You're merciful. Lord, if it wasn't for your love, there would be no other reason for you to even allow us to live. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to us. Lord, there may be some folks who really need some encouragement here this morning. Maybe they've been going through some trials, some sufferings, as it says here in our passage. But Lord, the sufferings of this present time cannot be compared to the glory that will be revealed. Now, Lord, we have to trust you on that. And Lord, when we get our focus on the circumstances, on the situation, and off of the Savior, these little problems grow up, and all of a sudden they're so big you can't see you. Or may we keep our focus and keep looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, to not forget that you love me, you love them, you care for each one of us. We could just, over and over and over again, just remember or remind ourselves, say to ourselves, I know God loves me. But like a good parent doesn't always give me everything I want because I don't always know what's good for me. But you love me. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move. I know that there's issues. There's things in the hearts of people. Lord, I ask you to do exactly what's needed to be done. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. I was telling someone the other day, I said, the Word of God
you know, sometimes we want to you know, preach about this and preach about that and try to decide what somebody else's needs are. But I found that the Word of God is like taking an aspirin. You take an aspirin because you have a headache, and all of a sudden you realize that sore elbow stopped hurting too. You know? And the Lord's Word is God's balm of Gilead, if you will. And when we apply the balm, put the aspirin in there, my job is to give you the Word of God. And I found that God has a way of applying it just to the right area where it's needed. And so my job is to simply give it out and let Him do the work. I want to finish our walk through Romans 8 this morning. It's a familiar passage. It's often quoted and often used as an encouragement, and it is encouraging. I think we need to sometimes go back and put these passages of great truth back into the context so we can truly have the impact that God intended the passages to have. And I want you to allow me to remind you of a few points so we can view the passage this morning through the eyes of the context. We found out that God has a plan. God's plan has been in place since before the foundation of the world. God's plan is to have a people to love. But the fact is, only those who are guiltless can be in His presence because He's a consuming fire, holy and righteous. But since all of us are sinners, and we all are, and sin defiles us, and defiles sinners cannot go into God's presence, God had to provide a way to justify us so we can come into His presence so He can love us. So God sent His only begotten Son, the only one that is sinless, to die in our place so we can be justified, counted guiltless, and come into His presence. It's not that we're guiltless, but our sins are paid for. It's all under the blood, and we can come before Him, the holy and righteous God, because of our sins being paid by Him. Now, since man is a blinded sinner, if God ever expects us to come to the Savior, which, by the way, we don't think we need because we're so blinded by our sin, God must devise a way, if you will. I'm kind of playing with this a little bit, but God devised a way to draw the eyes of sinful man to Himself so the man might see himself for who he is, the sinner, and thus seek a Savior. And so God's plan must include bringing glory to God. What the glory to God means to draw attention to God, allow others to see God who He is, for all He is. And He does that through us. Therefore, God's plan is determined for us to be conformed into the image of Jesus so that others may see Christ in us and through Jesus see God so they will come to Him. And so God's plan is for us to become more like Jesus Christ. And we've done all this the last few weeks, so you can go back and read it. Now, God allows us to become more like Christ, watch, as He indwells the saved, justified believer. We become God's child and can have the spirit of adoption whereby we can cry, Abba, Father, and know that God is with us. That's a wonderful thing. Now, second thing is, the more we are like Jesus Christ, the more we will be treated like Jesus Christ. Now, let me say that again. The more we become like Christ, the more the world will treat us like Christ. Now, that sounds like that would be a good thing. Not necessarily. We will be received by some and we will be rejected by some. This may very well include persecution. On the other hand, we should remember that when we suffer with Christ, we read it early in around verse 16, 17, 18 of chapter 8, when we suffer with Christ, not only are we heirs of God like every other child of God, but He says who's been adopted by Him, but we also become joint heirs with Christ because we have suffered with Christ so that we can be glorified with Christ. So in other words, we can be seen to be a great degree like Christ. The more we're like Christ, the more we glorify who He is. But some folks like it, some people don't. We should also remember that the suffering of this present time cannot be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, so the suffering, though not joyous, is nothing when we think of all God has in store for us. If we're not careful, all we see is our present time, our present situation, and we look at it. and we look at it, and we look at it, and we look at it, and all we can say is the whole world's red. The whole world's one big problem. That's because that's what we see. But the fact is, though, when we lay aside the problem and look at Jesus, back up and see who all that he is, all of a sudden, that kind of, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth shall grow strangely dim. Just kind of disappear and fade off into the side. In the light of his glory and grace, when we see him for who he is. Now, wait a minute. That's not only for us, but that's us when we are going through a time. We're going through a struggle. Where's things coming on? You may not have caused any of it. Some of we cause ourselves, but we may not have caused any of it. You say, why am I going through this? It could be God has going to allow you to show Christ in your life by how you handle your situation. He's going to add a little grace in your life. It's going to be abnormal. So I can't handle it. That's the point. He needs something in your life that you cannot handle so that you can take that thing that you can't handle and give it to him and let him handle it so everybody else can say, look what God's doing in that person's life. I want what they have. There's folks that say, well, I wish I could lead so-and-so to Christ. I wish so-and-so would get saved. I wish this would happen. I wish it would have happened. And yet, we don't want to allow God to put us in a situation where we have to let God control our lives so that they can see Christ in us, so that gives us a platform on which we can lead them to the Christ. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, we're too selfish to suffer so that others can live. That's not where Christ is. He says, I'll give myself so that others can live, even life itself, if necessary. That's a love that only comes from God. We need to remember that everybody in this world suffers at some time or another, whether we're a Christian or whether we're a non-Christian. The difference with a Christian is that God is working all these things together for good to them that love God, to them or the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Now, when suffering comes, we can sometimes feel as if God has forgotten us, that God has forsaken us. We may even think that God has just plain pushed us aside. Let me assure you that God has not forgotten us. God is glorifying us, allowing us to be seen for what we are, so that we can glorify the Father. When things get bad, remember that God has a plan for you. He's not going to just toss you to the lions for no reason. God has predestined you to be conformed into the image, in his image, and if God allowed that to be stopped by you, I'm sorry, he's not about, okay, God has predestined you to be conformed to his image, and God is not about to allow that to be stopped by you being annihilated. He's got something he's going to do in you. Then we found out about God's protection. Last week we found out, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We need to settle this. God's for us. Don't question anymore. If he spared not, look at the extreme he goes. If he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I mean, if he didn't give his son away, my mouth is moving before my mind here. I've got to put it in gear here. If he's willing to give his son, he didn't hold back his son from dying, don't you think that everything else is just a walk in the breeze? He will go to any extreme. And God is going to protect us in the suffering. He doesn't necessarily protect us from the suffering. But we will be joint heirs because of the suffering. Because others can see Christ glorified. And they can see him glorified best when we go through the tough times. Let me say this. We cannot slip through God's fingers. Let me say that again. We cannot slip through God's fingers. And we are not slipping through God's fingers when sufferings come. Let me say it again. No man can pluck us out of his hand. I know that's good for salvation and our eternal security, but the fact is, we're in his hand. So no one can pluck us out of his hand. And if God loves us with an everlasting love, that hasn't stopped. So he loves us, and no one can take us out. So when suffering comes, that doesn't mean we've slipped through his hands. That means he has a greater plan. If sufferings come, then God is conforming us into the image of Christ so that others can see Christ in us and come to be saved. You cannot lose your salvation, because who can argue against the complete salvation that has been provided by God through Jesus? Verse 33 tells us, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? No one can ever charge you with sin again to keep you out of heaven. Now they may charge you with sin that you need to make right, but the fact is, that's not going to keep us out of heaven, because God's paid for it. So then we saw that God's preservation. It's God that justified. It was God that said, sins are paid for. Who are you going to argue with him? Well, I think there's a couple. Can you imagine standing before God and saying, well, there's a couple things my wife did that she didn't, I don't know about that one. He said, I paid for them. It was God that justified. Watch. Who is it that can condemn us ever again? Who could ever overturn God's verdict and judge against us? No one can, because God justified. And by the way, when he justified, he did it by sending his only begotten Son to die. So Christ died. Not only did he die, but he rose again. Not only did he rise again, but he's sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us and saying, God, Father, listen, it's all paid for by the blood of Christ. That sin of Sterling, that was paid on the cross. That other sin of Sterling. My guess, he has a full-time job just with Sterling. And he said, that sin, it's all paid for. It's all paid for. He's sitting in the right hand, ever making intercession, because he's a priest an unchanging priesthood. He will never retire. He's never going to grow old. He's never going to walk away. He's never going to get fired. He's going to sit at the right hand of the Father forever, making intercession for you, because they're all paid for on the cross. It's done. He loves you. Forget all this other stuff that people try to tell you. I think he forgot me. Forget it. He loves you. That brings us to verse 35. He says, I just want you to understand God's love. Now, wait a minute. He knows we're a sinner. He wouldn't have to die if he didn't know we were a sinner. He's not saying we're perfect. You know what we want to believe?
That we're just such a great catch, he can't help but love us.
You know,
boy, she likes me. Boy, I got it going on today.
That's right. He loves me. That's right.
The kids used that new Corvette to drive from the church back to the house, and that's the first one I've had in 35 years, and it's 15 years old, so it's just an old car. Although it's a very nice old car, but it's 15 years old. But the price of it right now, it was given to me. If you're visiting, it was my dad. I just inherited it. But anyway, I can't afford a Corvette. I can't hardly afford the gas in the Corvette, but then, I had when I was in my teens. And you know what I found out? I found out that there was this gal I took out on a date, and I dropped her off at the house. I'm going to come back. I was going to go back to the house and change. We've been out, and I said, let's come back and we'll go get some pizza for dinner. And I came back, and while I went back to the house, while I was in changing, the storm came up. And the Corvette was a 65 Corvette, but it had a soft top, and it never sealed very well. And right about the back side of the window there, there was a hole there. If the rain blew, it blew right into that thing, and I didn't want to do that. So I had this old 72 Kingswood Estate station wagon. There was about 15 feet of sheet metal behind the rear wheels. Just kind of went down the road like this, you know.
it wasn't all that old, but it just rusted. The bodies were just rust off those cars about that time in those Chevys. And don't say anything Ford owners. But anyway, those Chevys, it was just rust, something awful about that time. And but I thought, well, I'm gonna put the Corvette in the garage, and I'm gonna take this old station wagon, go pick her up, go get pizza. I got there, and she walked out the door, and she saw that station wagon. And I wasn't in that Corvette. I'll tell you what, I found out why she liked me. That's right, I'm bad. I got a Corvette. You know, that only lasts so long. And God doesn't love you because you're the greatest thing in all the world. God loves you the same way God, mothers love a face that only mothers could love. Because they just do. There's something in them that just says, I've got to love this baby. It's all squished up and it's red and it's, you know, and doesn't have any personality. You lay it down, it cries. You pick it up, it cries, you know, and you feed it in one end, everything comes out the other side, and it's just, I don't, you know, but just, ooh, he's with me, you know. Love a baby. Well, God loves you, not because we're all that lovable. We're not really offering much to him. He loves us because he loves us. Now, you got to remember, God loves you. It doesn't mean he's not going to work on us. Doesn't mean he's not going to train us. In fact, he loves us. Because he loves us, he's going to train us. So wait a minute here. There's some things that you need to look at. Look at Romans 8:35. He said, who? Name somebody. Anybody. In all the universe, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Name one. Who can divide us? Put asunder the love of Christ. There is nothing that can stand between God's love toward you. Now, I hate to say this, a lot of times there are things that stand between our love toward him. Watch this. Not even our failure to love him stands between him and his love for us. Because God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, not only did he love us, he paid a price to get this mess. And not only was it a price, but the price was his own life. He says, who? And all the universe shall separate us from the love of Christ. If God, listen, if Christ wants to exercise love toward us, who's going to stop him? Not you, big boy. Nothing can stop the love of God. None of these things can separate us from God's love. So watch me now. You're going through something right now. None of this is separating you from God's love. That means God's plan is not thwarted. What that means is if he predetermined to conform you into his image because he wants to do something great with you, you can't stop him. Well, maybe I stopped him by accident. No. You can't stop him by accident. Why turn my back on him? I know, and he knew that when he died on the cross and paid for your sins. He's standing at the portal. He's standing out on the front porch like the father of the prodigal son. He said, come on, boy, just looking. He's looking down the road. He said, when he saw him afar off, he ran to meet him. He was looking down the road hoping something's going to come back. You know what? Your father. We have the spirit of adoption. We can cry, Abba, Father. We can cry, Daddy. And Daddy is sitting on the throne. Everything's paid for. He has sent his Holy Spirit to go down and say, woo him back. Woo him back. That doesn't mean we're going to... Listen, that does... Oh, you mean I can come back and sin and live the way I want and stuff? I said, no, you can't. I'm not going to let you sin, but come back. Because sin hurts us. The wages of sin, what we earn for sin is death. But come back. Listen, hey, I've known grown-ups whose parents said, would you come on back here and let's get your life back on. so I can bring my girlfriend in and live with her in your house. No. But I want you back. I mean, I can bring my alcohol, my booze in with my drugs, and no. Yeah, I don't know. But I want you back. Oh, well, I'm not coming back because you don't love me. Oh, I do love you. But by the way, you got to love truth more than you love. See, God loves truth. He doesn't cancel out truth. Love does not cancel out truth. Remember, love isn't about whether they like you. The love is love is love is love. He loves you with all his heart, with everything that he is. He loves you. Because of that, he wants you. But he wants to help you get rid of the sin. Now, if God loves us so much that he's willing to give his son to die for us, then that love thus proves that he's willing to do whatever is needed for our good. And if God really is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, eternal, never changing, then God loves us, and nothing will ever change that, ever. Therefore, when these not so good things happen to us, and things do not appear to be good, they appear to be bad, it doesn't mean God has stopped loving and caring for us. It's just where we are right now in life. Watch, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation? That's interesting. That means to be pushed, kind of pressure to where you got to go. And sometimes they ask you that, you know, you're pressured to go places where you don't want to go. Well, I'm having some tribulation in my life. Well, that doesn't mean that God stopped loving you. God is in the process of making all things work together for good so that you can be conformed to the image of Christ, so that others can see Christ Jesus in you. You glorify Jesus, who glorifies God, who saves those that come to him through Jesus. You see, the life that God has given you is to live is much bigger than you. Let me say it again. The life that God has predestined you to live, so to speak, if you want to use that word, that he's planned, of course, it's all in our own choice. I understand that. But God knows what's going on. He's working with our choices. But the life that you're living is bigger than just you. The life that you're living is impacting people all around you. It may be impacting generations to come. It may impact somebody at work, somebody, your neighbor. I don't know what it may be, but your life, you say, well, no one knows what I'm here. Yes. See, we're all wrapped in ourselves, and we forget that what God is doing is bigger than we are. It's bigger than you are. Your life, believe it or not, is all about others coming to life through Christ. But see, we're so selfish, we don't want to do that. We want life to be all about us. And when we think life is all about us, then when the bad things come, it must have been all about us. Well, why is he picking on me? Why is he forsaking me? Why has he forgotten me? He hasn't forgotten you. He's working through you. He says, listen, tribulation, watch, or distress. That means when you're pressed into a tight spot. Can I get a witness on that one? Pressed into a tight spot. I'm not sure which way to go. I'm kind of in a catch-22. He says, God must have forgotten me. No, he hasn't. Tell me that the Israelites weren't in a tight spot when the Egyptians came up behind them and they were in front of the Red Sea and the mountains on the other side. Kind of in a tight spot right now. And what did Moses say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. 40 years later, a little gal of questionable reputation by the name of Rahab, was living in a city in Jericho. 40 years later! And the spies show up to see whether they're going to go in there and take the promised land. So we heard about you guys. Listen, chances are she probably wasn't much more than 40 years old. But the event had occurred 40 years earlier. They've been talking about how God got the Israelites out of that tight spot 40 years ago. But what if they just turned around and surrendered? Let's go back to the sin. Let's go back to the mess. Life is bigger than you are. It's bigger than you are. When you're in distress or persecution, it says. That persecution means when someone's hunting you down like a dog. Pursued. You got a target on your head. You're walking around with a note on your back like you did in high school that says, kick me. Everybody's against me. God must, no. Nothing is separating you from the love of God. God is making all things work together for good. To those who love God are called according to his purpose. It says there, or famine. Well, we don't really have, No. You know what famine means? It simply means you don't have what it takes to make ends meet to survive the day. How are we going to pay the bills? God says, let me pay them. All right, I'll tell you what. I've spent 10 bucks on the lottery, and the rest of them I'm giving to you. You see what you can do. No. Do it your father's way. Daddy, well, how should I do this? Well, he says, I'll tell you what, give me your money. What? No. I've got to pay. Give me your money. And let me distribute out the way it's supposed to be. That's what God says. Now, I'm not saying give all your money to the church. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying use it the way God tells you to use it. You're down because you can't pay the bills. Don't go out and buy a six-pack. Don't go down the corner and buy a dime. Those who know about that know what I mean. That's not going to work.
Well, this other stuff's not working.
Give him a shot. Trust me. Try me. Prove me, saith the Lord. See if I don't open the windows of heaven. You won't be able to receive it all. Nakedness. That means I'm even having trouble putting clothes on my back. God doesn't all know. God loves you. We have a calling. Have you ever met somebody? It usually seems like a little lady someplace who probably doesn't have a dime to her name, but she's happy in the Lord. You ever meet there? You don't find very many of them anymore because people don't teach this anymore because this is not popular. And she learned to trust the Lord day by day. And almost becomes exciting to see how the Lord's going to meet her needs the next day. It's like every day is a present. Not a labor. How are we going to make it? But a present. I wonder what God's going to do today. Or peril. Danger. Literally in danger. We're going to do Memorial Day. Men and women are out there on the battlefield. Literally put their life in peril. God hasn't forgotten them. There's times in your life you're just really not sure how you're going to make it. What's going to happen? Someone's coming after you. Do right. God hasn't forgotten you. Or sword. Being attacked. All things work together for good, but these things are not good. That's why Paul has to tell us that these not so good things were working together for good. Verse 36, look at it with me. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, and as we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. You ever feel that way? I named the name of Christ down the plant, you know, down at work, or I did it at home, And all of a sudden now I got this target on my back. I'm killed all the day. I mean, they're killing me here. All the day long. It's almost like it's my job to be the sacrifice. Well, it was Jesus' job to be the sacrifice. All these things may happen to us. And we feel as though being a Christian just means more problems. But don't worry that God has forgotten you, because none of these things are stopping God's love toward us, nor can they stop it. Actually, God is exercising His love toward us in these things, because He's making all things work together for good, so that we can be conformed into His image. Therefore, look at verse 37. I know at this point we sound like losers, but watch. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. We possess in Christ more than what is needed to subdue, overcome, and gain a decisive victory. We are getting the best of the situation by far, because what God is doing in us through the situation is far greater than the suffering that's being done to us in the situation. I've complained about this. I've never really had anything really big, serious, but I had an appendix years ago that was about ready to burst. And if it hadn't been operated on, I'd probably be dead, because it was all infected and so forth. And you know how it is, guys, you kind of wait till the last minute, and finally it's just like, okay, I called up Janet, time to go. And so we went to the hospital, and I didn't feel very nice. I mean, I didn't feel well at all. And I thought I kind of had the stomach flu for about a week, and it couldn't have been anything. You know, he figured out it was appendicitis. And you know what? I was already down. I had felt bad for a couple weeks. And do you know what that doctor did? He pushed on it. Says, does this hurt? Well, what do you think? Does this hurt? After he gets finished poking and prodding, he says, we got you in line, and we're going to take a knife and slice you open. Now, he didn't say it that way, but I knew what he was meant. I'm not dumb. I might have been married at night. I mean, I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. And I may look like a watermelon, but I didn't fall off the watermelon wagon. I know what he was going to do. He was going to slice me open. And the fact is, he couldn't do the little laparoscopic thing, because it would have squeezed all the infection into my system. So he has a slice of pretty good, so he can kind of ease that thing out. And I'm alive today to tell it. And if he had not sliced me open to remove the infection, I'd be a dead man. I don't like being sliced open. It wasn't good. But all things work together for good. But you know what I had to do? I had never met this man in my life. Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not prejudiced, but I couldn't even hardly understand what the man was saying. He was from some other country, someplace. Come on! I said, say it again. Felt like Cooper on Andy Griffith. Say it again. And after he explained what he was going to say it again. But the not so good thing had to happen. Watch this. If he had not done that, I would have never been able to come to Dover and be a pastor. Now, maybe that would have been good for some. Maybe some of you think, well, man, we missed it just by a few. But I would have never been able to. Listen, watch. We have some of the greatest people. Yesterday at the reception, you know, folks are very kind. And like I said, Jack worked down there. We had other folks working. Brian Stewart helped bring chairs down for reception. He came back, and he had to work. He didn't get to go to the wedding. We got done. The kids took off on their honeymoon there. And I all of a sudden, I turned around, and the whole bunch of them picked up their chairs, because we had all these chairs in the backyard, picked up their chairs and started stacking them so that Brian could bring his truck around there and load it up. I mean, we had ladies and men cleaning up our mess. I mean, I just think, I mean, how this doesn't just happen. It's a wonderful thing. Sweet people. But if I said, nope, I don't want to get cut, I'll take my chances, I would have never met you all. This is, don't say it wrong here, don't say it wrong, but there's some people that's in here probably wouldn't have got saved, because I had the privilege to take a Bible and show them from the Bible how we could know for sure we died to go to heaven. But I had to be willing to let the surgeon, the great physician, slice me so they could remove an infection, sew me back up, and then I had to heal. You know what? Weeks. In fact, it was 2 years. I don't know what he cut in there. But if I was directing too hard, I'd get this burning sensation down in here. Almost 2 years. He says, no, you know what? We're more than conquerors. I won that day because I put my life in the hands of the great physician. Watch me. Verse 37. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. With Jesus, who loves us with an everlasting love and with a love that passes knowledge. He's loving us in these things, and thus we still win. We win! The devil and all those that are who are used by him think they're hurting us, think they're holding us back, but ha ha on them, we win. We're not losing. We're winning because we're becoming more like Christ. And when we become more like Christ, the more God can use us and the more treasures we have in heaven and the greater he can use us now. Cattle all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, because the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And as I say, now if any man lack wisdom about what all this stuff's going on, ask of God. He says, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Verse 38, for I am persuaded. There's a question for you. You got this settled. God's for you. If God sent his son to die on the cross for you, he's certainly not going to throw you away. You cost too much. Well, I'm not much anymore, but he's already paid for you, so he might as well get everything he can out of you. You know what I'm saying? He's going to love you. He cares for you. He gave his own son. He says, I'm persuaded, watch, that neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God. God loves me whether I'm dead or alive. That's what he's saying there. If I'm not alive, God loves me. If I die, God loves me. In fact, I'm with him. Well, you got the raw end of that deal. No, the person that's still alive, they got the raw end of the deal. They got to stay down here and serve a little while longer. They don't get to go to the glory yet. Whether death nor life, watch, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. That means no one, no thing can stop God's love. The government cannot stop God's love. Russia cannot stop God's love. Muhammad cannot stop God's love. ISIS cannot stop God's love. There is no principality, no powers, nothing. And my daddy's bigger than theirs. No angels. Wait a minute. I may die so that others may see Christ. But my death does not stop his love either, remember? See? Well, you messed up. No, I got to go to glory. You guys got to stay here and mow the lawn. Angels, principalities, or powers, watch, nor things present, nor things to come, Well, you don't know my situation. Doesn't matter. It doesn't stop God's love. Well, you don't know what I got in store for me. I know, but don't worry. Don't worry about it. It doesn't stop God's love. Does not stop God's love. Nor height, nor depth. I love this. There is nothing too big that can stop God's love. No Goliaths in your life. There's nothing too small, like a germ, that stops God's love. There's nothing too big, too small, too great, or too little that could ever stop God's love. Watch, nor any creature. Verse 39, nor any creature. Well, I love this. Nothing can stop God's love. Watch. Remember that whatever you think might have the ability to stop God's love, that thing was created by God. If God created it, it can't stop him. If he created it, he can't be stopped by it. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ, you have his love. And you have his love, nothing can stop it. Listen, all things are possible. I don't know my situation. No. He loves you, and it's possible. Whatever it is that you think is stopping God's love toward you, it's not. Some of us may need to, watch, I think some of us may need to apologize to God for doubting him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh to him must believe that he is, everything he says he is, and that he's a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. When God says, I love you with an everlasting love, don't doubt it. You're calling him a liar. Mamas, you know one of the things that would hurt you most? You know where I'm going, don't you? To have your 12-year-old daughter look you in his face and said, you don't love me. You never did love me. Might as well take your heart and rip it out. As much as you love your children, mamas, our Heavenly Father loves you more. Don't ever accuse him of stopping his love. We need to be persuaded and make decisions in life based on this. God loves you. And nothing can separate you from his love. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this morning. Thank you so much for our love, for your love for us. Lord, we talk about, how could you ever love us? The fact is, we got to remember this, not because we loved you, but that you first loved us and sent your son to die on a cross and pay for us. Thank you so much for putting us in the family.